Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 5, talking about this idea of humility that began in verses 5 and 6 and goes down through verse 11. Today we are in verses 8 and 9 that says this: "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world."
It's actually kind of funny because the audience doesn't know this, but this is like take 12 on this episode because the way I said I'm Corey the first time, he thought I sounded like I was saying I'm Batman, and you know, we need this hero to save us. Well, yeah. That's the idea kind of here is that there's someone trying to get you. So he says, be of sober mind. He's not talking about lack of alcohol, but be on, have clear thinking, be serious about this because it's something serious going on. Be on the watch, be alert, stand guard, something of that nature. It's a stand guard kind of military word about paying attention, and he tells you why you need to pay attention because there's a really bad thing out there trying to get you.
Yeah, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, he says. Kind of this built-in illustration that he gives, a very vivid and literal picture of someone that is seeking to devour you. You know, obviously, how you can think about how nerve-wracking it would be to be in front of lions and whatnot, especially whenever they can actually get to you and devour you. But that's a very real picture that is kind of brings to light the severity of the subject and the topic here, and that's what Peter's trying to do. The devil's prowling around like a roaring lion because he's wanting to get to you. He's wanting to devour you, and so you need to be watchful. That's why, is because that's how aggressively the devil is trying to get to you.
And what a danger he is. You know, the idea that he's prowling around is one of those instances we would use to show that he's not omnipresent, he's not everywhere. But we shouldn't think of that to say, well, he's not here because he's not everywhere. It's that he's not everywhere, but he could be here, right? And anywhere we are at. So you never know what's in the grass, so you might be lunch if you don't, you know. That's what he says, seeking someone to devour. He's not wanting to scratch you or play around with you. He's wanting to eat you up. So that's why you need to stay on the alert.
Yeah, it paints a very real picture, and it points us back to really who your adversary is. Of course, he calls him your adversary, but I mean that's the danger that you're looking to. He doesn't say, hey, by the way, you need to be watchful of your adversary, the Romans, or your adversary, you know, the people who are trying to arrest you for being a Christian. It's not the concerns that maybe is our first thought of being at the forefront of what their concern is. His adversary is a spiritual one, and he, like he's done throughout the book, he's kept bringing us back to a spiritual level and says, you know, ultimately what you need to be concerned about is the spiritual threat. Mm-hmm. To be concerned about the thing that's going to keep you away from the Lord and not away from just some suffering right now on the earth.
And how this ties in with being humble is the idea that humility helps us to realize there's a real present danger there. And we sometimes kid ourselves into thinking that I can go there, I can associate with them, I can watch that, I can, you know, whatever, and it's not going to have an effect on me. But humility reminds us that I can't defeat Satan on my own, that he is real, that he is powerful, that he is wanting to eat me up, and that I can get in over my head, especially if I try to do it myself, away from God.
So he says to resist him, being firm in your faith in verse 9. That's his command for us. Resist him and being firm in your faith. The word resist here just means to be in opposition to or to set yourself against something. The idea of, you know, maybe playing tug of war and you're setting your heels in the dirt and you're not giving another inch. You're setting yourself in opposition. As hard as he's going to pull you one direction, you're pulling in the other direction. And that's the kind of endurance and severity that you're going to fight against the devil. Resist him, being firm in your faith. That's what you're holding on to instead.
Yeah, stay strong in your faith. If we hold firm in that faith, then God can protect us. But if firmness of faith is what protects us, then what does weakness of faith do? It leaves us more vulnerable, which is the reason why that we need to be humble enough to be led by shepherds, to be led by the example of the chief shepherd, to put our trust in God and not ourselves, to resist and fight and realize what danger that we're in. But it all begins with that humility, but then realizing we've got to strengthen our faith through study, through encouragement, through being together, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's you're firm in your faith because you recognize what you need to hold on to. But he says the other part of that, the other way to resist him, is knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You've got a community that's here beside you. You're not the only one that is dealing with temptation, is dealing with sin, and is having to fight against the devil. You've got a bunch of other people. You've got a church full of people that's right here beside you that are going through and fighting against the same things. And so you don't have to go at it alone.
Yeah, that's why he tells us in Hebrews 10 that we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because when we assemble together, it's for the purpose of encouraging each other, because to know that we're all fighting the same fight, to know that we're enduring the same suffering, to know that, you know, I'm not going through this alone because there are people here that love me, but also to know that they've dealt with it. You know, I'm struggling in my marriage. Well, we struggled in our marriage when we were your age. Well, I'm struggling with this particular sin. Well, I've struggled with that particular sin. Let me tell you how, through God's help, I overcame that. And to encourage each other, to have some accountability, but to know that I'm not in this on my own. Sometimes we really, that's what we think when we're going through suffering or hardships, is that, well, no one knows what I'm going through, or nobody's had to endure what I've had to go through. And that's just not true. You know, Jesus has, for sure, but not only has Jesus, but our brethren are fighting the same fight too. And so we need to endure the same suffering that they are.
And that's whenever the devil's going to try to come at you it at his strongest. I think you can see themes through Scripture where he's, you know, sin and temptation thrives in loneliness and isolation. When did Satan come after Jesus at his hardest? Well, it was whenever Jesus was alone in the wilderness fasting for 40 days, and he was being tempted by the devil all 40 of those days. He came to Job whenever he's alone and sitting there. Everything else goes away, and then he's sitting there in sorrow, and Job, you know, Satan's with Job in that moment. Satan loves and thrives in isolation and loneliness. And so we kind of skip over verse 9 here. But, you know, part of that is, you know, being humble enough to say, I don't have figured out all by myself, that I've got a community that I can open up to. And, you know, I've got people around me that can help me, that I can be open and honest with, and that can help me battle through this sin. The other part of that is that we've got to be humble in saying, you know, I'm here and I'm willing to help you and be someone who people can open up to. That's not going to judge them. That's not going to act better than them or something like that. But we're all humble. We're all in the same boat. We're all striving for the same goal. And that's the bottom line. And whenever we can get a lot of those other barriers out of the way is whenever we become most effective for each other and for God's kingdom.
Yeah, we can face the enemy when I realize that I'm God's man.
Yeah. We are, we're a community that's striving for the same goal. striving for this glory that Peter's been emphasizing together. We hope that this has been a good a study for you, something that is encouraging, that you can dive into a little bit deeper in your own personal time. But we are thankful for you dedicating time every day to spend with us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.